Well, greetings, dear friends. It's good to see you or be seen by you, but it's good to be gathered together today, and we gather in the name of the Lord Jesus. We want to just say Merry Christmas to you. Though Christmas was yesterday, as far as the celebration of Christmas was concerned, I trust that you had a good Christmas with your family. We have a lot of people that are traveling today out from this local fellowship, and maybe some of you have done that as well. So we just want you to know that we wish you a wonderful time of the year, this Christmas time. Primarily now, however, we're looking toward the new year. And we look forward to the new year that is coming. The really reason why, of course, is that we find that though the new year is upon us, we enter that new year just as we left this one. How is that? In Christ Jesus. Our life is in Him. And it is true that one year comes in man's timing, in the timing of humanity. One year comes, another year goes, and that goes on and on. But the reality of our life, dear heart, is in Christ Himself. And the substance of that reality, the substance of our being in Christ, is Christ in you. I want to talk to you today, the theme that we've been carrying for, that I've been carrying in various teaching is the one Son of God. We started off, several months back concerning Him being given a name above every name. And that name above every name identifies the person who is above all, and who is raised up of the Father and seated, and in whom we dwell. So we've been talking about the one Son, and that's what I want to just share with you a while today. And let me read something to you here. In Isaiah 9, 6 through 7. For unto us a child is born. Well, we've certainly thought a lot about that during this Christmas time. There's no doubt about that. Unto us a son is given. That's what we've been talking about, this son. Because that takes us directly to the cross. Yes, the Lord Jesus was born as a baby. He's always the Son of God. But he was born in that way. There's no doubt about that. Born of a virgin, born of a woman, born under the law. He went to the cross. We've been staying in Philippians 2 in a lot of these lessons. And became obedient to the cross, unto death rather, even the death of the cross. And then that brings us face to face with the Son. Wherefore God hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name. It is said throughout the Scripture, under the old covenant and in the new Testament as well, "This is my son." And under the old covenant, through the prophets, it is spoken of him with regard to the resurrection. "Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee." Well, that's begotten out from among the dead. The firstborn out from among the dead. That's the one that God has given to you and I. Firstborn from among the dead. And so unto us the Son is given. The Son that is talking about is the Son coming forth in the power of his resurrection. Coming forth in the power of his resurrection. And that's our identification with the Son. The Son who lives in you, Han, is the resurrected Son of God. He is not just the Son of God resurrected. He is, with regard to you and I, he is the resurrection and the life. He is the one who lives in us. The life we have is the life that has already conquered death. That life is Christ himself. Now we've been looking at that, and we'll continue to look at that as we go on, but the focus is upon that Son, because it is unto that Son coming forth in the power of his resurrection, it is that Son that is exalted up above all things, all principalities, all powers, above everything, hon. It is under the feet of that Son that all things are placed. It is that Son who is given to be the very head of the church, the very life of the church, the very resurrection of the church, which is his body, is that Son, hon. Do you realize that we live in the resurrection? You need to get a hold of this. Not waiting on the resurrection. My heart cries out and for Christians who have been taught that they are waiting on the resurrection. The resurrection lives in us now. It makes this little phrase, it brings it to life, it brings it to its importance. Unto us a son is given. Well, hon, everything that is given to us of God, everything, without exception now, listen to me, without exception, everything that is given to us of God, every spiritual reality of our salvation, including our eternal dwelling place, there is nothing that is given of God that is something other than this Son. It is in him we find all of the fullness of the Godhead bodily. It is in him that we find all fullness dwelling. Hon, it is in him that we are raised up together, seated together. It is in Christ that we are a new and eternal creation. It is in Christ that we come to the new heaven and the new earth. There is nothing given of God that is not given in that one eternal Son. And so it is that I want to follow through with today. The one eternal Son of God. Hallelujah. The whole work of God summed up in the perfection of the one eternal Son of God, the one who appears before the Father and says, "It is finished." Now, we've talked about that again and again, and I want to just continue to call our attention to it today. And it seemed to be a good time since we're starting into a new year. Now, I don't know how this year, the natural year, is going to compare to last year. I have no idea. But I know that whether it is 2021, 2022, or on down the line you could go, it really makes no difference to our life. To our life. Because our life is eternal, and our life is Christ Himself. So as we go into this next year, we go there as those who are in Christ. We go there living in Him, finding our life in Him. It bothers me that Christianity has become, in the minds of many, a religion, and has made as its basis natural time, natural days, natural months, natural years. And has in the ignorance of the natural mind, tried to dispensationalize what we already have in Christ. So let's just look at this a little while together. The Bible, hon, does not teach oneness. Now just listen to me. The Bible doesn't teach oneness. The Bible teaches one. It teaches the one. When Jesus looked at the Jews, and when it is written in the Scripture and set forth and given to us in the Gospels, when He said, "I know that you search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life." Now, sweetheart, everything that we call salvation is pretty well summed up in eternal life. Heaven, summed up in eternal life. New creation, summed up in eternal life. All of our concepts of salvation, our concepts of heaven, our concepts of the resurrection, all of those can be summed up in this eternal life. Do you ever stop and think about that? Eternal life. We even in Christianity, it is being taught that you see it on the billboards, you know, where will you spend eternity? And every time I look at that, I think, well, I'll spend eternity right where I am now, in Christ, because that one who is eternity and who is eternal, that one who is the resurrection and the life, lives in me now, and I now live in Him. So what I'm telling you, darling, is that the weeks come, the weeks go, the months come, years come, years go. We live in Him. And you realize that the death of this body that I've got right here, not the body that I am in Christ, the body that I've got right here, the death of this body doesn't change my life at all, and doesn't change yours either, if Christ be in you. That's what we need to understand. So I'm going to say it again. The Bible is not teaching oneness, and I'll explain that as we go along, but rather the one. For instance, in John 17, John chapter 17, where Jesus is praying for those who are in him. That basically, that's what he's doing. He's praying, mentioning those that God hath given him. And yes, he is talking about the disciples at that time. He's talking about those that believe in him at that time. But he goes on and say, I'm not praying just for them, but for all who will come by their word, for all who will receive me by their word. So, sweetheart, John 17 is talking about you and I, just and believers that have been in Christ ever since then. We're there in John 17. But one of the things that is said over and over there, like in verse 21, he is praying. Well, I'll just read here, verse 20. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. So this is the gospel. That they all, and that's everyone who's ever been truly born again since the time that he said this, which was right before he went to the cross, right before his death, burial, resurrection, and right before his coming again to receive them unto himself in John 14. So John 14, 15, 16, and 17, we've talked about it over and over again. But my point here, it isn't talking about oneness. It's talking about just this, that they all may be one. As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect, that is, full and complete. That they may be made complete. As what? As one. And what one is being talked about here, hon? Well, not that we be made one God, not that we be made the Son of God, but that we be made what he's praying for here anyway. One body, one house, one dwelling place of God, one dwelling place. He says that, John 14, verse 20, and that you shall know in that day. He's talking about this very day that I'm talking about here, that you shall know, talking to a disciple, you shall know that I am in my Father, you are in me, I am in you. What is he going to talk about there? What is he talking about? He's talking about the body of his resurrection, the body of his glory. He's talking about his body. The true church, not just what we put on a street corner and call the church, but the church. The same thing Paul says in Ephesians chapter 1, right at the end of it, giving him to be head over all to the church, which is what? Which is his body, the vessel of the fullness that filleth all in all. The vessel of his fullness, the vessel of Christ in his fullness. And that's what the Lord is praying about here. This is the one that he's talking about, the one body of the one Son, the one body of the one resurrection and life. How comest we to be his body? I will raise it up in 3 days. That's how we come to be his body, by his resurrection, by the resurrection and the life living in us. All you've got to do is read Romans, and particularly read Romans 6. Just sit down now and read it and see how it is that we are made to be builded, as it were. I will build my church. I will build my house. I will raise my body. It's the same thing, hon. And that's the one that we're talking about here. And how is it that we are one body? Well, if you take away the one of everything that is given of God, the one in whom the Father dwells and the one who dwells in Him, you take away that one, which is the Son, and the body just simply disappears. Without the Son, there is no body. You understand that? Without the body, there is no church. None of that exists without Christ. The new creation, if any man be where? In Christ, he is a new creation. Who lives in that new creation? You say, well, we do. No, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. We're a new creation. How do we live? By Christ living in us. That's the only, if you take him away, there is no new creation. See, hon, what was the central figure in type and shadow, but what was the central figure in the first creation, in the natural creation? Adam was. But we're a new creation of God in Christ. There is but one life there, one light, one glory. It is Christ Himself. Ah, hon. The glory which thou hast given me, I have given them. Yes. Who is it that? Yes, Paul says it is Christ in you, the expectation of glory. And if you'll read in there, the expectation is not pointing ahead of that. It was an expectation given of God that now has come to be fulfilled in what? In Christ, in you. The expectation was given before Christ came to be in His body. But it was given in the light of that coming. It was given as a prophecy and a promise of that coming. Well, Paul is saying, He's come. He's come. And He lives in you. You've heard us say that time and time again. You found it in the Scriptures, no doubt, time and time again. Well, this is the one I'm talking about here. But we're reading what this one said to His Father. Verse 23, I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect. Well, Paul says that in the book of Colossians, where he says, for in Him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in Him. See, that's the whole thing. They may be made perfect in one. Well, now, perfect in one. In Christ. As the one body of the one Son. Well, Father, verse 24, I will that they also, whom Thou gavest me, be with me where I am. Now, He's already told the disciples that He was talking to there. He's already told them. It's recorded in the 14th chapter of John. You've got to read 14, 15, 16, 17. Here we are. It was told to them, I must go away. And if I go away, I go to prepare a place for you. And what I'm telling you is the truth, or I wouldn't be telling it to you. If I go away, I will come again. It's a shame that the church, that the dispensational movements in the church haven't even accepted that yet. Have not accepted that yet. That He has come again. I mean, if that's true, there isn't any salvation anyway. If that's true, we do not have life. If that's true, it's not true. It's simply not true. Paul says that time and time again. But Christ is now risen. Yes, thank God he is and lives in those who have received him according to his word that he said, for the time is coming and now is that the dead who hear my voice unto obedience shall live. And that's right where he's talking about. And he goes on to declare, I am the resurrection and the life. But look at this again. Again, verse 24 of 17. Father, I will that they whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. There in John 14 it says, I'll receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And then he goes on, and in verse 20, I quoted it already, it says, in that day. It's the day of the coming of the Spirit of God. Today, it was the day, it was Pentecost. It was Pentecost, where Christ came in his Spirit, by his Spirit, in the very Spirit of Christ, to dwell in those who were waiting for his coming. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. And he says, I'm praying where I am that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou sent me, and I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Please, darling, don't tell me, and don't let anyone else tell you, that reality that I just read to you has not yet come, that is not the reality of our salvation, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them and I in them. Oh, hon. Unto us the Son is given. Unto us a Son is given. Isaiah said that a long time ago, and it has been fulfilled now in Christ. You understand? It's not still an unfulfilled prophecy, sweetheart, or it wouldn't even be the truth anymore. No, it's fulfilled. The gift of God is His Son, because everything given of God is in that Son, in whom all fullness does dwell. All right, now, let me just go a little farther here. I've pretty well said the essence of what I have wanted to say, and let me just say this again. Everything that is given to us of God, everything, every spiritual reality, even our eternal dwelling place, everything given of God, the whole work of God is summed up and made perfect, made complete, in the one eternal Son, whose body we now are. Hallelujah to the Lamb of the living God. So when I said the body doesn't teach oneness, it teaches one. So the gospel, therefore, is not about our oneness with God. Now listen carefully to this. The gospel, therefore, is not about our oneness with God, there are a lot of religious sects and outcroppings that claim their divinity, as though they are one with God. The scriptures, that's not what salvation is all about, honey. Listen to me careful. The gospel does not and is not about our oneness with God through Christ, nor is it about our oneness with Christ. Find it and read it to me. No. What it is about is the one who lives in us, the one eternal Son of God living in us by His eternal Spirit, makes us to be not one God, there's already one God, not one Son, there's already one Son, makes us to be one body. One body, one with another. One body in whom one Son, the eternal Son, dwells. Now Jesus says this. He says this. In that day you will know I'm in my Father. You will know you are in me. You will know I am in you. Hallelujah, hon. John 17, that's what this one is all about. So, it's all about the one himself. The question, if there could be a question, and I guess maybe there might be, the question is, do we know him? The question is, do we really know him? Unfortunately, the great Christianity problem is that so many Christians do not know him. He turned and looked at his disciples. Of course, he'd only spent 3.5 years with them at that time, but even at that, he said, "Have I been so long with you that you don't know me?" And he was talking to them there in John 14 about, "I'm the way, the truth, the life." But knowing him in the way that he said, "My Father is in me and I am in him," he began to speak to them of an understanding and of a union and of a salvation that they did not understand. And there's a lot of Christians today, those that have accepted Christ, those that have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, those that have been born again, who do not understand what that new birth means. Darling, do you realize that we're born not of flesh but of spirit? Do you realize that we are born of the one who is eternal life himself? Do you understand that we are born from above? The word born again is born from above. We are born of Christ, who is the resurrection and the life. Do you realize, darling, that the life we receive is life that has already overcome death, already overcome death, already destroyed death, already destroyed separation from God, already done that, hon? And that's the one we have received. When? When you are born from above. That, darling, is by the power of His very resurrection. That is the quickening for the great love of God. Look at it in Ephesians 2. Look at it in Ephesians chapter 2. I'd have to turn there and look at it. But I open my Bible and there it is. Isn't that something? Ephesians chapter 2. But God who is rich in mercy, now look at this, for his great love wherewith, which should be, it is in a better translation, his great love with which he hath loved us. With which? See, with God, hon, love is not an emotional feeling. It's the person of his Son. The Son is the love of God. What I'm telling you, darling, everything God gives, he gives in the person of his Son. Because his Son, it has pleased God that in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Oh, hallelujah. It's all found in him. He is the fullness of it all. And when we are born from above, we are born of Christ himself. We are born not of the flesh, Nicodemus, but by the Spirit. New birth is not another Nicodemus in any shape, form. New birth is not another J.W. Lumen in any shape, form, or fashion. New birth is Christ dwelling in you in all of his fullness. It's the resurrection dwelling in you. It's the life dwelling in you. Blessed be the name of the Lord our God, hon. But see, that doesn't make me the Son. That makes me the dwelling place of the Son. That makes me the body of the Son. That makes me someone who has Christ as my life. Paul says, for to me to live is Christ. This is the same Paul that said, I'm crucified with Christ. Oh my. Now, and there's got to be a resurrection connected to this, Paul. Yes, nevertheless I live. Well, Paul, the resurrection you've taught is not you living again. No, that's right. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, but not I. The resurrection is not Paul living again. The resurrection is Christ living in me. And that's the same for all of us, darling. Resurrection is not the dead living again. Resurrection is Christ living in those who were dead in sin, in trespasses. It is Christ living in us. Paul uses the word there, nevertheless. And I've always looked at that because I've realized for a while, it was a word that I couldn't get away from several years back. And finally I realized he is saying, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. He is actually saying, it is not a lesser thing for me. Nevertheless, I live. But it is not me. It is not a better soul life that I got. It is not a better self life. No. It's not I. Nevertheless, I live, yet it's not I. Salvation is a greater life than me just being alive again as a soul life. I was a soul life in sin before the cross. No, our life is Christ himself. Hun, I'm just hammering on this. I know I am, but the other day, it hadn't been, it's a few weeks ago, I was directed, just somehow, however the Lord directed, I was directed to Isaiah 9, and I read, unto us a son is given. And I thought, oh my Lord God, not only unto us a son is given, that's what is given. God didn't give us his Son along with a bunch of other stuff. The all things of God are in the Son. They're in Christ. They're fulfilled in Him. He's the substance of the all things of God. Honey, God will accept nothing short or other than His Son. Anything that comes short of glory, God will not accept it. Well, He hasn't given us a salvation that is short of glory. He has given us His Son as our salvation. And everything that relates to our salvation, unto us, the Son is made what? Wisdom, sanctification, righteousness, redemption. Yes, glory, love, joy, peace. I mean, honey, dwelling place in the heavens, in Christ. Glory to God. Well, that's the one we're talking about. That's the one I'm talking to you about. And I may be repeating a lot of stuff as far as I'm concerned. It all needs a lot of repeating. Again, the question is, darling, do we really know Him? I know we believe there is a Jesus, but do we know Him? Do we know Him? I was born again when I was 6 years old. I mean, genuinely born again. And there's no doubt about that. I was born again. And to you who understand speaking in tongues, I didn't understand what had happened, but I knew that I was saved, that I was born again. But I had no comprehension of what that was. I knew my sins were forgiven, but I didn't understand that the resurrection Himself dwelt in me. You understand, darling? There are believers, there are Christians who simply do not know Him in the way that Paul was speaking when he said, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. I've heard of your love of God. I've heard that you have come to Christ and your love one for another. I'm praying for you that you might come to know what is the breadth and the height and the depth and the width. That you may come, that God may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and knowledge in the revelation of Him, speaking of Christ. This is the thing, hon, that I'm talking to you about. This is it. The question is, do we know Him? Do we know Him? We've all read Paul's usage of the phrase, know ye not? Know ye not what? Know you not? Know you not that so many of us, as we're baptized into Christ, we're baptized into His death, buried with Him by baptism into His death, so that, this is Romans, you know where it is there in Romans 6, so that as Christ was raised up. Look, we're baptized into Christ. We're baptized into His death. Buried with Him by baptism into death. That's Romans 6, 3, hon, and 4. The reason for that is that like that Christ, the Son of God, the Son exalted of the Father and given a name above every name, the Son who was obedient unto the death of the cross and took us into that death. Well, when we come to Him, then by the Spirit of God, we're baptized into that death and buried by that baptism into that death. Why? Because that Christ was raised up out from among the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together with Him, then, you see, we shall be of His resurrection. How is that? Hon, that's not so much me and you individually. That is Christ, the resurrection, living in you. That's the raising up of His body. That's our quickening together, raised together. The word together there, by the way, means as one. So let's just say it what it is, because it comes right out of Christ being the head of the church, the head of the church, the vessel of His fullness, the one who filleth all in all. So He's talking about His body here, who hath quickened us as one. Well, let's just say it as it is. Hath quickened us together, has quickened us as one body. Quickened us as one body. What makes you and I one body? What has truly quickened us together? What is truly, darling, joined us together with a little more than just friendship or a little more than just acquaintance? What is it? Even a husband and wife, what has quickened them together with regard to Christ, with regard to their salvation? What does that? What does that? They've come to a greater union, even than the union that we all have, those of us who are married, with me with a wife and Jim Collins, who's with me today. In fact, he's the one making this possible today. And with he and his wife. Oh, yes, there is that union there, but there is the greater union, and we all know that. Quickened us as one body with Christ. Now, see, that's what we are. We're one body with Christ. Raised us up as one body with Christ. That's because He lives in you. Oh, darling, I tell you, I'm sorry to be this way, but unto us a son is given. Man, that's Isaiah's prophecy, and that and he came to his own, and his own received him not. Not as a whole, not as a, no. But it's as many as receive him. Yes, to them, He is a Son given of God, given of God. Well, bless the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Raised up together. And not only that, I said that in this Son we find our eternal dwelling place. It's not Jesus and something. Jesus and... I'm sorry. I apologize for laughing. I shouldn't have laughed. It's not funny. But those who think, bless their hearts, that He's off somewhere, they're not for sure where, but He's off somewhere building us a place to live. Oh, darling. He's already done that. And if any man be in Christ, he lives there. We're a new creation in Christ. But who lives there? Christ lives there. He lives there in me. He lives there in you. He's the newness of it. We walk in newness of life because He is the newness of it. Behold, I make all things new. That's what He says. Why? Because He's the new of it. It's not simply a made-over creation. It is an altogether other creation that never existed before Christ. That's just the facts. And the good pleasure of the Father is to reveal that Son in us, that we actually come to know Him that way. And that we actually are able to walk in the light as He is in the light. That we actually come to what Paul is talking about in 2 Corinthians 4 and 6. Of course, he's talking about it in 2 Corinthians 3 from about verse 10 all the way through, and finally to verse 6 of chapter 4, he says, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness..." Honey, you can't kick this now off into the future. "God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give thee light of thee knowledge of the glory of God in the face, the person. It can be translated the face, the person. It's the Lord in the face of Jesus Christ. What does he do, hon? It's his good pleasure to show us the Son. Why? Because the Son is our salvation. The Son is our union with the Father. The Son is our relationship with the Father. And in the Son, we have that relationship and that fellowship one with another. We're not going to find it anywhere else except in the Son. He has called us. The Father, who is faithful, has called us into the fellowship of his Son. He would very much, it's his good pleasure to show us that Son, to reveal that Son in us, that we stand in the light of that Son, and that the light of that Son fills our heart and soul. Why? Because he is in us. He's the fullness. He is in us. He is the fullness of God dwelling in us, but that the light of that fullness would fill our heart and fill our soul. This, that we would walk in the light as he is in the light. All of that, just because I said, the question is, do we know him? Well, we've gone about as far as we're going to be able to go. We have some time here, but we'll continue as the Lord directs. I just want to point you again unto us a Son is given. Yes, the child was born. Yes, yes, yes. And he was the Son and child, yes, and all of that. But as the Son, fully grown. That's why the baptism came at about age 30. That's why God said at that time, this is my Son. This is my Son. On Mount of Transfiguration, this is my Son. And both of those things, one pointing toward his death and burial, the other pointing toward his resurrection. All of that fulfilled in that Son. And it's that Son who came forth in the resurrection who now lives in us. It is that Son that finished the work and said, Father, I have finished the work that thou gavest me to do. But I can't go on and on with that except to say, that Son is the one in you, hon. He's the one in me. He's the one who have made us one with one another because we are the body of the one. Hallelujah. Blessed be the precious name of the Lord. It's good to be with you today. And like that is so, throughout the Lord's body, there are many traveling just now. But for you who were going to be with us for this session this morning by way of the internet, we wanted to be able to just share with you the reality of our salvation. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten and firstborn from among the dead. He is the person of our salvation. May the Lord richly bless you. Thank you so much for being with us. Thank you who enable us to continually reach out We receive what you send, and we thank you for it. It makes it possible that we continue to reach out with this gospel throughout the Lord's body and around the world. May the Lord richly bless you. Amen.